Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Thursday's headlines, and a spokeswoman for the Federal Aviation Administration says the agency has confirmed everyone has gotten off a U.S. Airways plane that went down in the Hudson River just west of New York City on Thursday afternoon. The Airbus 320 apparently came in contact with a flock of geese, causing the jet to go belly down in the frigid waters off of Manhattan. The FAA says there were 148 passengers and four or five crew members on board Flight 1549 at the time it went down. A passenger on board says there was an explosion a few minutes after takeoff from New York's LaGuardia Airport, and the passengers could smell gas. The fact that both engines went out after encountering that flock of birds was pretty shocking to former National Transportation Safety Board Managing Director Peter Gels.
You seldom see both engines get knocked out at once. I mean, that is just, extraordinary.
Passengers were then seen standing on one of the wings of the plane as they awaited rescue. The A320 took off from LaGuardia and was headed for Charlotte, North Carolina. The plane then stayed afloat in Hudson River long enough for rescue personnel, as well as just the regular ferries that go back and forth between the city and New Jersey, were able to rescue the passengers. And just soon enough, because the plane soon was then submerged except for just the tail. Adam Weiner watched the plane fall out of the sky and into the river and described what it looked like.
It looked like it had no power. At the very last minute, it pulled up a little bit, but, essentially it looked like it was a float plane that was coming in for a water landing.
Fred Beretta is one of the passengers who escaped from the U.S. Airways plane that landed in the river. He says the plane was still trying to reach flying altitude when trouble hit.
We were still on the ascent and the engine blew out. Then the pilot turned around, made a line for the river.
Beretta also says once passengers were aware of exactly what was happening, you could imagine there was plenty of panic on board.
Probably a lot of folks were worried it might split up, but it didn't. And it was sort of an angle with the nose kind of sticking out, and people were very orderly. There wasn't really a lot of panic.
Back here in Washington today, perhaps the most contentious of confirmation hearings took place before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Former Deputy Attorney General Eric Holder has been nominated by Barack Obama for the top job at the Justice Department. One of the key questions that most Democratic lawmakers wanted to know, Holder's definition of torture and whether the controversial interrogation technique known as waterboarding met the definition of torture.
It would violate the international obligations that I think all civilized nations have agreed to, the Geneva Conventions.
So Holder saying that waterboarding is torture. He was also quizzed, though, by Republicans about some of the decisions he made while he was a top Justice Department official in the Clinton administration, namely his handling of the Elian Gonzalez case and especially his direct role in processing the pardon for fugitive financier Mark Rich during the final days of the Clinton administration. The ranking Republican on the committee, Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, wanted to know a whole lot about that.
The background of this man, it's hard to brush it off, it seems to me, as a mistake.
Holder responded then to the problems that Specter still had with the way the former deputy attorney general handled that case 8 years ago.
I've accepted the responsibility of making those mistakes. I've never tried to hide. I've never tried to blame anybody else. What I've always said was that given an opportunity to do it differently, I certainly would have.
Thursday, also a day of hellos and goodbyes in the U.S. Senate, including a farewell from rising Vice President Joe Biden.
I say for the last time, and with confidence in all of you, optimism in our future, and a heart with more gratitude than I can express, I yield the floor.
Also saying farewell, although she hasn't officially left the Senate yet, Hillary Clinton, who will soon be the next Secretary of State. She says she's loved serving the people of New York, but there's a great opportunity for her in this new administration.
This is an opportunity for us to pull together with the new administration to make a real difference, a lasting difference for our nation. That's what I've tried to do as a senator from New York.
The hello today was for the newest member of the U.S. Senate, Roland Burris of Illinois, after that long fight over whether or not the appointment from embattled Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich ought to be seated. Today he was sworn in by Dick Cheney, who announced that Mr. Burris is taking the place of our nation's next president.
The chair lays before the Senate a certificate of appointment and related credentials to fill the vacancy created by the resignation of former Senator Barack Obama of Illinois.
That was likely the vice president's final official act as the president of the U.S. Senate in 5 days. That role belonged to Joe Biden. President Bush will deliver his farewell address to the American people tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On Wall Street Thursday, stocks finishing slightly higher. The Dow up 12 to 82.12. The S&P 500 up 1 to 844. The Nasdaq up 22 to 15.12. Oil off $1.83 to close at $35.40 per barrel. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll talk with former Clinton administration official Larry Haas and find out why he believes Israel cares far more about the people of Gaza than either Hamas or the United Nations. We'll also speak with Dan Gaynor of the Media Research Center about the contrasting coverage of attorney general nominees for Barack Obama and George W. Bush. But when we come back on Dateline Washington, John Gizzi, stay with us.